for your faith. You were put in jail for what you believe. So if you happen to not like the hymn, "Steep and Thorny is the Way," it's because you weren't put in jail for your faith. Most of you, there's a few exceptions, but most of you have not had to go to jail for what you've believed. So you, when you look at the history of the Zionist Harp, you've got to think, who wrote these hymns? They were people that were persecuted for their faith. We're not persecuted for our faith. So if I told each of you, go home and next Sunday bring a hymn back, that's pretty much how the Zionist Harp got started, because to use a hymn that was used in the state church was illegal and you would be penalized it. So the beginnings of the Apostolic Christian Church did not have any hymns of their own. They had to be written by the believers, and the believers had a really rough beginning, and so a lot of the Zionist Harp songs people don't want to sing because they might sound depressing or just full of woe and misery, and I'll lay this body in the ground, and just for things that just aren't uplifting to the soul. But really, the authors that wrote these hymns, these were very real things for them when you know, many of their newborn babies would die. Now we have modern medicine, but these poor farmers didn't have a lot. They were in jail, separated from their families. They went through a lot of persecution. So this denomination, it took hold and it really grew, yet there was a problem that there was no hymnals. The beginnings of the Zionist Harp were just little leaflets. One or two hymns that were handwritten down, and these leaflets were called hefts, and there were many hefts in Zionist Harp. A heft is just a small booklet written with some selections of some of the songs. And most churches did not have hymns like books in the pews like you see them now, but people owned their own hymnal and carried them with it. This particular one is Dan's grandfather's German heft from 1921. And I decided not to pass around any of the Zionist harps, but you're free to come look at them later on, because some of them are antiques. So they had these little hefts, these handwritten booklets, but they weren't very efficient. And God brought a very wealthy person into the church. She was a baroness named Juliana von Krudener. And she was a noble woman that became converted into the church. And because she had a lot of funding and she traveled a lot, she saw a need to have a first printing of a hymnal that could be used in all the churches. So she actually did the hard work of going from church to church to collect all these handwritten hymns and put them in order and print them. And so this took a lot of energy, time, and money, and a man named Johann Jacob Better also helped. And between the two of them, they began to publish small little hefts, Zionist Harp hefts. And by the time the year 1828 rolled around, they had five editions of the Zionist Harp. He's sick of his face. Let's get some else. This is just a picture I found of a handwritten Zionist harp from Ukraine. And so I did this when I was in Brazil. I would hear songs and I want to learn them, but there were no books for them. And I would remember writing them down and trying to figure out the chords for them. So I fully understand how maybe it would have been for someone in Europe who loved to sing and didn't have a book written in their language with the words. In 1852, a new version of this hymnal was printed. It was named, I can't say the German word, but it's Neue Zionist Harf. There were 180 hymns in this book. It's actually called like a harmonica. And when the first apostolic Christian churches began in the year, anyone know what year? the first Apostolic Christian Church in the United States. What year was that? 1847. Okay, I should have had that question number 9. Okay, there was no English Zion's Harp. People came over from Europe. They joined the Anabaptist Mennonite movement, and all their hymns were in German at the time. So, if you all have your Zion's Harp in your hand, this book is less than 100 years old. I think that's interesting that we think of Zion's Harp as being so old, but really it was not translated in the 1800s in English. I'm done talking about the European roots of the Zion's Harp. I really went over it very, very fast, and I will recommend often, and at the end I will have a place where if you really are interested in the Zion's Harp, you can read in great detail the names and places and people and dates, because I just went really fast over the German, the Switzerland, the roots of the Zion's Harp in the United States, in Europe before they came to the United States. And in the 1920s in the United States, they sang out of a German, Hungarian, they didn't even have a Zion's Harp at the time. If you open up your Zion's Harp to the beginning, it'll say, for the greater part of the past century, these hymns, first used in the German language, have been translated and sung to the same tunes in the following languages: Serbian, Romanian, Hungarian, Slovakian, Spanish, Portuguese, and I've seen newer Zion's Harps also include the Ukraine. So in the beginning of the Zion's Harp you have, does it have any country that I, any language that I missed? Okay, I'd like to show you some of the Zion's Harps that I have. This book, this Zion's Harp, is from Dan's grandfather, Daniel Simon, who was an elder and minister in the Mansfield Middle Belleville Church in the 1920s. And this book is from 1907, and it's in German. And in looking through this, it's not just Zion's Harp. It also includes hymns. So it was a combination of Zion's Harp songs and hymn songs put together in the German language. Probably the book that fascinates me the most is this one. A brother, Robert Freund from Syracuse Church, loaned me this book. And in the 1920s, they saw a need for the English Zion's Harp. And so the sister church went about putting the German hymnal into English, and so did our side of the denomination. This is a brother from the Syracuse Church, Elder Brother Philip Braun, who was instrumental in, along with his brother, in translating the Zion's Harp from German to English. So they hired lyricists from the Syracuse University to make the Zion's Harp very poetic, that it would flow smoothly, and that the words would line up with the notes. So they wanted to preserve the beauty of the hymns, because when you sing the hymns in German, there's a certain beauty to it, but if you translate it directly into English, it has a choppy feel. And so they hired these people to translate the hymns. They were linguistic experts. And the forerunner of the first Black Zion's Harp is this red one. And it's an English, the first English Zion's Harp. It also includes regular hymns, and not just the hymns you have in the black book on your lap, but it also includes many other hymns. And this would be, if you look at any Zion's Harp, this would be a very good one for you to look at. The next few antiques are very special to me. They were lent to me by my sister-in-law Patty Webble. This is my grandmother Dorothy Abraham's heft. A heft is the Zion's harp name for just part of the Zion's harp. And these are what people carried to them when they went to church before the full Zion's harp was made. This is my grandfather Paul Abraham's heft. Another heft of my grandmother Dorothy Abraham. 1948 German heft. And this one is my grandfather Jacob Webble's German heft. And this book belongs to my brother Roger, and it's very special to me because when I look at the year 1948, when this printed, this was the year my grandfather was still living in Europe before he came to the United States with his family. So I can imagine him carrying this to church. However, he did not have a church at the time where he was living in 1948. So this book was probably really precious to him, not having a church body to worship with. This Zion's harp is very special to me. It's my first Portuguese Zion's harp I sang when I lived in Brazil. It was this book's from 1974, and I lived in Brazil 1983 to 1985. So this is very special to me. I have my Spanish one on loan to Brother Judah, who's preserving all the Zion's harp on PDF format. I'd like to do a little game experiment here. Open up your Zion's harp. I want to see who has the newest Zion's harp in the audience and the oldest Zion's harp. So if you go to the front page, it'll say when your Zion's harp was printed. So if your Zion's harp looks pretty well worn, you might have one of the oldest ones in the congregation. If it looks pretty new, you might have one of the newer ones. So do we have any Zion's harps from the 2000s in the audience? How about 1990s? 1993? 93. Okay. 80. How about the oldest one? 1954. Okay. 1954 is the oldest Zion's harp. Each time they make a Zion's harp, they tweak it a little bit. They might... Oh, great. Okay. But a lot of people own their own Zion's harp. This is my mother-in-law, Annette Simon's Zion's harp from 1954, and it was very common when you got baptized to receive a Zion's harp for a gift. So this is another special Zion's harp to me. And most of you Sunday school kids are familiar with the Blues Junior Hymnal. That includes some of the Zion's harp songs and other songs written for kids. I'd like to have Darla go to the piano now. I want you sopranos to be very, very thankful for that the Zion's harp is written in the key signatures that it was, because... in the old Zion's harp, their songs were written much, much higher. If you could turn to 220. I'm going to have her just play a little bit of the first song in this German song, if I have it right. It's a little confusing because the song numbers are different from the page numbers. If I have it wrong, we'll just skip over this. I'll go back to this one. Okay. Be very thankful that they changed the some of the hymns down a little bit lower for you sopranos and you tenors. Makes it a lot easier. One of the most prolific hymn writers, you can stay at the piano, was G.M. Mangold. He wrote 26 to 29 hymns for the Zion's harp. I have a question for you to think about. When a Zion's harp was written, a lot of the times the author is not put with the Zion's harp. They don't know who wrote the Zion's harp or why. And why do you think that is? It was for protection. They would be, if you were not part of the state church, you would be persecuted. So to have your name above a hymn that didn't belong to the state church meant that they could hunt you down and take away your family or persecute you. I have a list here of all the authors and composers of the Zion's harp songs, all the ones that are known about. And so this is for something for you to look at later. Turn to page 109. I'd like to sing the first verse of 109. This is one of the most interesting hymn stories of the Zion's harp. Before we sing it, I would like to tell you the story of this so that you can think about the words when you sing it. This song was written in a prison cell in Mosbach, Baden, Germany. The author did not have paper to write this hymn, so he wrote it on the walls of the jail cell. And I just think some of the words are very interesting to this song because they're positive words. They're not, oh, poor is me in this jail cell. It's talking about the goodness of God to guide and cheer him, or despair would have come. So think, imagine yourself in a jail being persecuted for your faith. And you know what? I realized I made a mistake. This is hymn number 191. But hymn number 191 was written from a jail cell. It's a real positive, upbeat song, which I find is really interesting because it has 12 verses, and I can't imagine having a big enough wall to write all 12 verses on. But let's just sing the first stanzas of the song. Sing praise to God, all ye who love the Savior. O Lord, is good, His faithfulness so true. Sing to the Lord, who loved us first and ever. For His great mercy is deep every doubt anew. With love and favor. I hope you looked at those words when we sang, thinking that you were in a jail cell. Yes?
I have a question.
Sure. That's my Zion's harp that Brother Judah borrowed. I'd like to talk about some of the composers of the Zion's harp. I was going to make a game out of this, but I knew I'd run out of time. So I thought what we would do is just look at the composer and sing the first verse of the song that he wrote. I thought that would be very interesting. He wrote the music to 230. So if you could turn to hymn 230. Now remember, these composers, famous composers, did not write the words. They just wrote the music to these songs. So imagine Beethoven here writing writing this music. And Darla, you can set the pace for this one. Handel. We know he wrote the Messiah, but he also wrote the music to hymn number 87. We will go ahead and sing the first verse of 87. You could go ahead and set the pace. Mozart wrote hymn number 35. I could sing the first verse of Mozart's music here. Go ahead. It's very interesting that some of these familiar tunes, they were written by a composer from 400 years ago. This is myself when we visited Mozart's birthplace in May. Little did I know when I went there that he wrote music to one of the hymns. I feel like I rushed through this presentation. I wanted to keep it at 45 minutes. We have 5 more minutes. What I wanted to do with this last 5 minutes is encourage you, if you want to order this book, Get to Know More, you can go to the Sister Church publication website and order it. It's very good reading. It'll give you much more than 40 minutes of information that I can give you. This book does not include the time when Philip Braun translated it. That part was words were given to me by the elder brother, Robert Friend Sr. I'd like to have a closing song and open it up for questions and comments. How about 4 minutes of questions and comments? And since this is being recorded, I would like if you would speak into the mic if there's one available. And we'll use the last minute then to have a closing song. Is there anyone with a comment or a question? I know some of you own hefts from your family.
Can you go to I was just wondering on that, do we know, for example, who persecuted our Christians in Germany or Switzerland? And all that? Did you look into
the state churches did.
State churches,
mm-hmm.
That's
yeah. There's much information on that if you read the Apostolic Christian Church history.
Yeah, like but,
mm-hmm.
Hello. Hello.
Google search the words authors and composers of the hymns found in the Zionsharp hymnal. I printed this off of the internet. And a lot of this information is from the Sister Church website. You can look at this later and write it down. Jenny?
On my dresser at home in my bedroom is a Zionsharp book that belonged to my father, and it's called Hef. And it's either written in Romanian or Hungarian. I look at it, and I try to read it, but I can't. But I plan on passing it down to Tammy, because I feel she's coming here, and I feel she should be the one to get it.
Roger? They first printed the first lion's harps in the 1920s, but there have been many printings since then. If you look in the beginning of your Zion's harp, it says what year it was printed. You'd have to figure that out. Ken?
Our current Zion's harp, many of the numbers have small numbers in parentheses, several numbers under the title. For instance, hymn number 164 has in parentheses 123, 124, 248. What is the meaning of those small numbers?
You could correct me if someone knows better than me, but those might have been the Heft numbers from the German hymnal. Does someone have a better answer than that? I just said they might.
It's not a better answer, it's one of the answers.
Okay.
Those
could you put mic in?
It is not a better answer, but it's one of the answers that I remember when I was a child. Those songs could be sung to the tune of the other numbers, whatever those numbers were. So it was not just a one tune, but it would be compatible with the tune of the other number that was in there, I think.
Okay. Brother Dave?
Yeah, I certainly agree with that comment. And the fact that we have, even though we have a different hymns with the same melody in our Zion's harp, in the Heft and some of those older books, you had the words on a different page than the melody, because the melody didn't need to be repeated. The musical part didn't need to be repeated. So you, to save paper and printing and that, you just had the words printed on a separate page. So if we think we have a difficult reading the 12th verse and singing on the opposite side page, you can imagine what it's like with music on one section of the book and the words in another section of the book. But it was economical that way.
We have time for one more question, and then we're going to have a closing hymn.
I want to give a short story. My mom and dad, back in the 1920s, my mom, they didn't have a piano or organ. They had a lady would start the singing. My dad heard her and saw her singing and ended up marrying her. And I'm sure it was Zion's harp.
I'd like to finish up with one verse of my favorite Zion's harp. I'd like Brother Dave to direct it, like hymn number 14. And the reason I wanted Brother Dave to direct it, because this song is full of emotion and thanks and praise to the Lord. But it is a song of rejoicing also for what God has done. And please talk to me afterwards if you have any questions or you want to get more information or look through these antique heirloom Heffs and Zion's Harps for the day.
On behalf of the congregation, Sister Annette would like to thank you for all the work that you've done regarding the Zion's Harp hymns. It's a blessing to know something about the history, isn't it? To recognize that the hymns that were written they served a very real purpose at that time, and some of them don't apply as much to us today.